Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. Amen. We have a really interesting gospel this morning. It is interesting because of the things Jesus says, the teaching that he gives, the very strange metaphysical window that we get to peer into regarding the nature of evil spirits. Then we have a prophecy about the society that Jesus is in at the time, and then we have randomly a woman crying out, "Blessed is your mother," and Jesus saying, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is a very strange collection of things all put together and included in our Mass gospel. So how do all these pieces fit together? Is there a common thread that's going through all of them, and what's happening today? In St. Luke's gospel, this is the chapter that is assigned to us, but there is a parallel story of this in St. Matthew's gospel that kind of fleshes out the scene a little bit, and we hear more of the context. In Matthew's gospel, we hear that where all this is taking place is toward the end of Jesus' ministry. He has a lot of the leaders of the Jewish religion people looking to trap him in his words. They're trying to find anything that they can do to make Jesus appear guilty so that they can stop him from doing what he's doing. They don't like him. They don't trust what he's saying. They view him as a threat to their authority. Maybe some of them are just completely motivated by evil. Maybe some of them are genuinely confused by what he's saying and concerned that he's, well, a heretic. And then maybe there are others who are just nervous about the fact that so many people are following him and they don't want the Romans to come down on them hard, which the Romans have a habit of doing whenever there's a disturbance in their peaceful empire. So Jesus has people hunting him, waiting for him to trip up in his words so that they can arrest him and put him away, do something with him. Jesus knows this. He's already told his disciples, "I'm going toward Jerusalem now, and I will be killed and raised on the third day." And they are unable to hear him. They can't understand exactly what he's saying, but they're following him anyway. So they're on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus has his eyes set toward the cross at this point. And he has been performing miracles long enough now that there are massive crowds that follow him around. And Matthew tells us that at this story, they are in a house, and the house is so packed full of people that Jesus and his disciples can't even eat. So they're literally backed into a corner, right? They're surrounded by people, some who are just there to, you know, hear him, some that are there to see miracles done, and then some that are trying to trip him up. And it's in this context that all this happens. Someone brings to Jesus a man that has a demon that is preventing the man from speaking. Jesus casts this demon out. The man can speak. It's a miracle. Jesus does this out of love, and he reveals his authority. Obviously, all the people who are looking to trap Jesus and stop him hate this, and they accuse him of only being able to do this because he has the power of the devil himself. Jesus says, that makes no sense. Like, devils aren't casting each other out. It's the power of God that's doing this. And he says, and if that's the case, if I am actually doing this by the power of God, then you need to understand the power of God, his kingdom, has come on top of you. It's right here in your midst. And you need to do business with that and figure out what that means. And if you can't handle seeing the power of God act through love to rescue people, then examine your own heart. You will be judged. Then he describes this strange reality, this metaphysical condition of an evil spirit that's been cast out of a person, and he describes it wandering through waterless lands, a wasteland, something very uncomfortable, and then coming back to the person that it was cast out of and saying, oh, this is much better, And then it gathers more spirits and they all come and fill up that person again. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. What is Jesus talking about here? Why is he describing all of this? What is the point? I think the point is he describes himself as also the strong man who comes, and there was a strong man guarding a house, but Jesus, the stronger man, comes and binds this other strong man and throws him out. He's describing himself as one who is coming into a situation where people are oppressed and filled up and ruled over by evil. Evil powers, the powers of darkness, have been oppressing the people that Jesus is coming to, and he is coming and setting them free. But there's a warning that he's giving. If they don't mind their house and keep Jesus, the strong man, in their hearts, if they, after Jesus frees them, leaves themselves empty, open, not filled up with something good, then something bad will come back and fill them up even more. Apparently, it's not only nature, but supernature that abhors a vacuum. We need to be filled with something. And if we are not filling ourselves with God, then we will be filled with bad things. So that's the warning Jesus is giving these people as he's doing all this work. People who are not there to hear him and understand his message of love and self-sacrifice, but rather are there just to be entertained, to see signs and wonders, amazing hat tricks, as some of them probably, just something to amuse them. Jesus is saying that is not enough to fill you up. You need to know the word of God and follow it, which is why he responds to the woman who shouts out. By the way, this is the reason a woman shouts out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you. Blessed is your mother." In Matthew's gospel, he tells us that Jesus' family and friends were so concerned about his welfare because he's backed into a corner in this house filled with a crowd, many of which want to condemn him, that they're trying to get him out. They're outside the house. They're trying to call him out so that they can bring him out from the midst of this massive crowd. And so when someone tells him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you," that's what's going on. And when they say that, this woman says, "Blessed is your mother. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you." And he says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Once again, Jesus is laser focused on getting people to realize it's not miracles, it's not family connections, it's not anything else except knowledge of God, your maker, his love, and your ability to, and your determination to follow after that, that matters. Jesus is on message here. He will not be distracted by anyone calling out or trying to pull him away from what he is there in that moment to do, which is to share the truth and love of God. So that's how all of these elements come together. This exorcism gets people excited. The Pharisees are there to question his authority and loyalty. He's trying to say, "Look, those who are after me, you don't understand me. Those who are looking for signs and wonders, you don't understand me. Those who are trying to call me away from my purpose in this moment, they don't understand me. What do I want from you? I want you as a people to understand the word and message of God and to follow it. That is what matters. That's the message. That's what Jesus is trying to tell the crowd, and that's what the church is trying to tell us today. I've been listening to some podcasts and some videos I've found on kind of a phenomenon over the last few years of various secular to atheist to spiritual but not religious people being drawn to Jesus. It's happening across the modern secular West, Europe and Britain and the US. And it's a strange phenomenon. People are, people who you wouldn't think would be walking this path are suddenly finding themselves realizing the the beauty of the story of Christianity. They're dreaming dreams about Jesus and having their heart opened to him. I think God is clearly working in the world, and we might be, you know, turning a corner in society where people begin waking up to what Jesus can actually do, to the reality of Jesus. Jesus, like ancient Israel, is coming onto the scene, and people are realizing, wow, this guy can really do things. This is God, and he can work wonders. And that is wonderful. But I hope that as the church, we can be here for those people, celebrating the wonders that he is going to be working in their lives, but also bringing them back to the central message. It's wonderful, the miracles that God can do, but he does them so that you can have relationship with him. He doesn't do them for your amusement or your amazement, or even just to take away pain or suffering or discomfort. He does everything he does for us so that we can know him, love him, and follow him. The real Christian path, as his disciples will learn, is not that God has come into the world to make us feel better. It's not that God has come into the world to convince us of his existence. It's that God has come into the world to capture our hearts, to help us be transformed more and more into his likeness. And that likeness, that heart that he has, is a heart so full of love that it's willing to lay down his life. The way of Jesus is the way of the cross. And Lent is the perfect time to remember that. The prototypical life of the Christian is one of self-sacrifice, intentional giving up of things that are not bad in of themselves, but things that are not as good as God. That's why we fast. There's nothing wrong with food, but God is better. And so we remind ourselves by eating less, by praying more, by giving away what we have to those who need it more than us. That's what Jesus is doing in this story. That's why he is casting out demons. He's freeing people so that they can follow him, even to the cross. It's not that the oppression of the demon itself, the pain, the suffering, is the bad thing. What's bad is that it keeps us away from the love of God. And so anything filling our hearts that isn't Jesus, the strong man, let's let him bind up today and cast out of our hearts. Jesus can work wonders, but he does it so that we can follow him. Let's keep that in our minds and hearts as we continue this journey of Lent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. Amen.
Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.